Blog Talk Radio.
Stop being sheep, people.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Sean, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Rock Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table, five silly guys diversified and educated.
Yes, sir. What up, War Room family? It's the first week of September, and you are back in that room. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm here with my partners, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Paul Johnson, going to join us later. We've got a great show for you today. Hey, why wouldn't we? Football's back. We'll recap last night's opener as well as preview a few of this weekend's big matchups. We've also added a new weekly segment for you gamblers out there, so at the top of the hour from now until the end of football season, we'll hear from Mike Brown of Your Bookie's Money, and he'll give you his picks against the spread for a few of the big games. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation. We want to hear from you guys as usual, so jump into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can call in when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, you know, we like to show love to those who've helped us along the way and also shown love to us. So make sure you check out Roy and Chris at the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon, who may join us later to give his NFL season predictions, along with his partners Chris and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. But now, I'm going to stop yapping and jump right into the show, and we're going to see who's having a birthday.
My birthday! Yay!
Fellas, what's going on this evening?
What's good?
Yo, the DNC is going on, but I don't care.
Because the war room is in the building. They're going to have to hold on for a minute. All right, birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. Do you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that world-famous NFL Sunday ticket, not the Red Zone channel? Go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on DirecTV logo, and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. All right, first birthday today is one Mr. Kevin Alvin Willis. Kevin Willis turns 50 today.
Yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of when you hear the name Kevin Willis?
Yo, believe it or not, I used to be a Kevin Willis fan when he played for the Hawks. He had the little baby hook with him, Neek, Doc Rivers, and them used to ball out. He had a long, solid career. He wasn't a great player, but he wasn't a bum. He was a good player, above-average player. He played a long time and contributed. He played on the Spurs, I think, at the end of his career as well, but I remember him specifically in Atlanta with the little baby hook. He used to kill cats, 20-10 dude back then.
Yo, Jimmy said he had the baby hook. He didn't have a choice because he had the baby arms. Like, when I think of Kevin Willis, like, he was a good player. But I think of a T-Rex every time I think of Kevin Willis. Because he was a 7-foot dude with these little short arms. And he wore, like, a size 12 shoe, I believe. And for a 7-footer.
Are you going to be 7-foot? Like, yeah,
Like, how you keep your balance if you're 7 feet tall and you wear a size 12?
My man probably got a nice pension, though.
I know.
So, much like any great rap group, if you go last, you kind of short if you're on one topic with y'all dudes. Because I had all of the T-Rex and short-arm jokes lined up. When I think of Kevin Willis, I like Jimmy, I think of a good quality big man, like not all-star, not really Hall of Fame, but just quality, like will give you high teens, you know, eight to ten boards. I also think of an extremely tall dwarf because he was like really tall, but he had dwarfed extremities. Like his arms are too short, his feet and legs are too short, like, but he was still 7 feet. It was kind of interesting.
Must be torso heavy or something wrong with that cat. All right, so the happy birthday to Kevin Willis. The next birthday is one Mr. Nazi Tahiru Muhammad. Nazi Muhammad
Harold.
Turns
35 Yay!
Today. Awesome. What do you think of when you think of Nazi Muhammad?
An extremely good bum or kind of a I don't know. He's like, he's not really a bum, but he's not good either. And he's one of the rare big men still in the league that has back-to-the-basket game. Like, Nazi can actually get you buckets.
Yeah, I think
but
Nazi
he's still just
he's
not
serviceable.
Good.
I see what you're saying, though, because even though he's serviceable and he has game, moves, stuff like that, he's not a starting-quality big man. You're not going to get Nazi
right.
on your team and say, okay, we want you to start because, you know, we're about to go win this chip. You know, I remember his little stop through in Philly. A friend of mine was actually from Chicago, went to school with him, so that was his homie. You know, got, you know, shout out to Nazi for the tickets that I used that were his a few times. I don't think he knew he was giving them to me, but shout out to him anyway. Yeah, I mean, he was another one. I think actually Nazi and AI had a pretty good relationship when they played together. I mean, because he rebounded and then gave AI the ball. What else more do you need?
What else was he supposed to do?
Jimmy, what do you think of Nazi?
Yo, Austin described it perfectly. He said that he was, what do you call him, a good bum.
He's a good bum.
So let me just redefine that. I think I would call him a solid role player. I actually thought coming in that he was going to contribute more because he has flashes where he shows you that he could play in the league, and then it's like, you know.
Yo, he has way more offense than Dwight Howard.
However.
However, yeah, you're right. So you described it perfect. That's a perfect way to describe that young man, which is
you got to get your screaming A. Smith on after that.
Yeah,
however.
Yeah. He's definitely a good bum. So
nice bum to have on.
We're going to leave it at that. You're a good bum.
All right. Happy birthday to bum ass Nazi. The next birthday is one Dennis Eugene Scott. Dennis Scott turns 44 today.
Yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of? You think of Dennis Scott?
3D. You got to think of those Magic teams with Penny, Nick Anderson, Dennis Scott, Shaquille, Rashawn O'Neal, and how you thought they were going to be a force to be reckoned with for a while, and then, you know, Penny lost
to Horace Grant.
Yeah, Horace and Thunder. No, can't forget Horace Grant. You know what I mean? Harvey brothers. But, but 3D. You know, he used to hit the three ball. He used to call him 3D.
Yeah.
And I also remember him, you know, trying to be a rapper as well, which didn't work out too well. So
that was kind of cool, though. Like, some nicknames, they don't even try. Like, if your name is Kevin Durant and they call you KD, like, come on now. You didn't try. But, you know, 3D is cool. Like, somebody like Allen Houston, H2O, his number was 20. Last name started with an A.
Ellis nickname.
His J was water. I think his nickname was too good for who he was.
Nickname was better than he was.
It worked. But back to 3D. Yeah, 3D, he was tough, like Jimmy said. You know, he had a lot of people, a lot of talent on his team. I'm talking about tough from the three-point line. Not tough like...
Would you call him a good bum?
Yes. Yes.
Let me rephrase that. Not tough all around, but he was tough from the three-point line.
For what he could do.
He had a lot of talent around... Well, he was around the talent.
He fit into that team. His skill set was made... His skill set was made for that team they had.
Put it like this, Jim. He got a lot of open shots, and he knocked them down. Put it like that.
Yeah.
He got
a lot
of open shots.
I like that terminology, though. That's why I keep bringing it up. I think that's hilarious. You're a good bum.
Dennis Scott.
A good bum.
Was one of them dudes that would have averaged – he would have averaged in his prime probably 18 a game no matter what squad he was on. But it wouldn't have translated in – like – he could have been on the Timberwolves, and they wouldn't have had more wins. He just would have got 18 because he could shoot. But when you're 6'8", if all you can do is shoot, like he couldn't do anything else. Like if y'all thought Glenn Rice was bad, he was worse. Dude couldn't dribble. He couldn't pass. He didn't play no defense. He could just shoot the three ball. So he qualifies as a very good bump. He's a very good bump.
Rashawn down like there. I mean, the thing about it is, like, you know, because the shooting is gone in the league now. You need people like that. I mean, you need him on that wall. You want him on that wall.
He just described Dell Curry.
Yeah,
Dell Curry got a nice career, and he got a legacy. But Dell Curry has a nice career, and he's about to have a legacy that's two children deep in the league, and all he could do is what you just described.
Yeah, but
what I'm saying is they were specialists back then, man.
Dell Curry didn't know two things. He didn't know that he was just a three-point shooter, and he didn't know he was a light-skinned dude, because Dell Curry would get mad at you and try and rumble. Dennis Scott wasn't trying to rumble nobody. He might have been trying to smoke a little, you know what I mean? But he wasn't about that life. As opposed to,
he wasn't about that life, huh?
No, he wasn't about that life.
All right, so our last birthday of the day, I'm going to have to go to Austin on this one, is one Mr. Willie James Gault. Willie Gault turns 52 today.
Birthday. Yay!
Austin.
Yo.
Willie Gault.
First of all, I'm going to say that at the age of 50, he still was fast enough to be in the NFL and clock like a 4.48. Why do you run a 4.48 at 50 years old? What's the point? He didn't get no yams because he was one of them dudes that all he did was work out and run. And he ran himself into what would be considered a good career because he couldn't catch and he couldn't run routes. But he was successful.
He even got a ring. He was on that Super Bowl team, too.
He certainly was.
He was a Tecmo Bowl superstar.
Could not catch.
He would have been
an Olympian.
10-meter hurdler in the 80 Olympics. And on the 4x1 relay team, had they not boycotted it, he probably would have beat your man in the 110-meter hurdles that year, your man Edwin Moses. But
Edwin Moses never loses. You know that. Edwin Moses
he never loses
44
until the
years.
Willie Gault was a 9'9" type dude in the 100, 10, low tens. He was fast. He definitely had afterburners.
He was on like a gold medal winning world champion 4x1 relay team too.
And
Summer Olympics wasn't all he was dealing with. The boy was a bobsledder. Come on, man, what are you doing?
Come on, man. Feel the rhythm.
So what you're saying is he was a better athlete than Edwin Moses?
he had more events.
Hey yo, Kevin Lang, shout out to you if you're listening.
I'm dissing now.
Feel the rhythm.
Your man. He said, Phil, what do you think about the bobsledder? The bobsledder, though, when they run to start the bobsled, they do be moving. So you probably would need somebody like a Willie Gault.
the funny thing is, when I think about Willie Gault, I think about the Raiders and Al Davis and him just wanting to draft all guys of speed. And even the team now that, you know, the team they have right now is pretty much the last team that, you know, he's ever going to be a part of building. But there's a lot of fast guys. He just goes out and checks 40 times and, like, signs you right there.
Yo, he doesn't care about
any
other skill.
When the Bears didn't want him no more, Al Davis, man, you know, what do they say? One man's trash is another man's treasure. long as you can still run, Al Davis is messing with you, and that's that. So that's our birthdays for the day. Jimmy, why don't you just go ahead and tell everybody what happened this week while they were on that grind trying to get that paper.
You already know. While you were on the grind, it's definitely brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Visit our website at warroomsports.com and you'll see the Bay Financial Services logo to help you get your money right. Now, gentlemen, the first story I want to talk about is one Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has become the first ever golfer to reach 100 racks in earnings that come from basically purse money.
Man, and Tiger Woods, y'all.
Great cash, homie.
Tiger got bread, but
what
does this actually mean?
Really, I mean, it had to be him. Who else would it be? I mean, Tiger, to be real, to be honest, Tiger Woods is the reason that the purses are so big right now. He's the reason that everybody else makes the kind of money that they make. You know, so, I mean, he had to be the first one. But there's a $10 million tournament coming up, so if he can go ahead and win that, he could be well on his way to another 100 mil, but.
Yeah.
It had
Yo,
to be him.
That's major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he
really.
Got to give it all to Elon,
I mean,
but it is major.
I mean, the thing about it is, like, you know, the golfers can say what they want to say, but, you know, basically Tiger's the reason, like you said, they make bread. I mean, if he lives
no,
to see
I I've never actually heard a golfer deny that.
Yeah.
Even before this whole story broke, you know, he's good for the tour, period.
And,
you know, whether he's winning, losing, he's the reason that, that purses are so high these days.
You
but.
Never lie, man. If he lives to see the dawn, it's because he allows it, like, that's the little quote from Quick and the Dead.
He's
doing this because I allow it. But that's just the bottom line. I mean, that's what I think of because the amount of money and the amount of attention, let's just forget the money, the amount of attention, the amount of people that care, and this is nothing to do with race because people believe when I say that all the time that I'm talking about African-Americans, but it's not just African-Americans. I mean, Tiger's a polarizing figure, and everybody loves Tiger Woods because of how dominant he was at that time. It's sort of like
right.
the Mike Tyson syndrome. Mike Tyson can fight today out of shape and everything, and people will buy it.
Right. And Jimmy, even the people that don't love Tiger Woods, they still watch golf because of Tiger Woods. You still want to see, like, if you don't like him, you don't like him enough to watch to see him fail.
Well, let's put it like this. You're a sports fanatic just as I am. Before Tiger Woods, did you watch golf?
I couldn't spell golf, and it's only a four-letter word.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean,
you know,
see, personally,
I'm still not into golf, but if I'm talking about golf, then most likely I'm
probably,
talking, about,
probably
Tiger
talking about Tiger Woods. Like for
yeah.
me, I don't even
not
think
even a
golf
problem.
Is a sport. I told you before, golf's not a sport. So you know, it's
game
I'm telling
people
you,
play.
Man, it's just a game people play. If you can finish your sport and go bust a grub in the same gear, then you didn't play a sport. So anyway. That's my two cents, man.
The only reason you'd be sweating is if it was just hot as hell outside. That ain't sports. All right, that's crazy. But, yeah.
Yeah, man.
And
anyway, that's a tiger.
Because he's having a pretty good year by anybody else's standards. You know, the reason people keep
yeah.
acting like he's having a bad year is because they're comparing Tiger to Tiger.
To Tiger.
But in anybody,
yeah,
else's,
right about that.
Yeah, in anybody else's shoes, Tiger Woods is having a great year on the golf course.
Talk about Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan was named the new co-host on Live with Kelly Ripa. What's your opinion of Michael Strahan becoming more mainstream at this point?
Yo, that's bigger than a lot of people may think. Like, I mean, Michael Strahan has gotten a lot of opportunity. You remember a few years ago he had his own sitcom. I mean, it was Truck Juice, but he had his own sitcom. Like, yeah, I'm like,
yeah,
I watched it. I mean, it was entertaining because it had my man Chill in it from Groovy Chill, but
yeah,
it's. This is big. I mean, since Regis left, first of all, you're taking the place of Regis. I mean, your name is not going to be first on the marquee. It's Kelly's show now. But, you know, they went through a lot of people, like, guest hosting, trying to find somebody that would mix well with her. And, you know, for Michael Strahan to get this job, like, you know, I don't know
I
him.
Know
and he was a giant, but I'm proud of the boy, man. That's big.
I want to know if he's going to get a T-fix.
No, that's part of his
now.
Whole image and everything.
Yeah,
like he wouldn't be
thing.
Michael Strahan without that. Like, you
if
know.
He come on that show with his teeth fixed, the ratings gonna drop.
You never know.
Came on here faking. Like, come on, man.
And Alex watching Kathy Lee and Regis, my action.
Yeah, you see when Nas got his chip tooth fixed, you know what I mean? People stop liking his albums. I mean, come on, man, you gotta stay who you are.
I mean the. You know, the album's kind of... Never mind, we're going to get into that, but...
Fix his tooth, you
aren't
Nasty Nas no more.
He had to work on his craft some more, man. He started
yeah,
selling out by...
Clean cut
Nas, fixed.
Teeth all straight. Like, come on,
yeah,
man.
I mean, once he got his tooth fixed, Uchi Wally came out. Anyway. another story real quick, man. That's right, I slander anybody. Y'all know I'm a Nas fan. I don't care. Smoking Joe Frazier, it's about time to get his own statue in South Philly. What do you guys think about honoring Joe now that he's gone?
Should have done it 25 years ago.
He ain't never lied.
Yeah, about damn time. He should have done it the minute he dropped Muhammad Ali. He should have ran out of the arena and started sculpting a statue. But,
yeah, I mean, there's several reasons why it never happened. But, I mean, with that being said, I just hate – not that I hate – But it kind of just bothers me when you see, like, you know, legends who are honored once they're gone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm glad Kareem is going to be here. Yeah,
he doesn't
like,
even get to see them snatch the cover off the joint like Rocky did in Rocky III. You know what I mean?
Man, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
I hate that.
You know
that
what? I mean, being honest, because people always say that to me, being a Philadelphian, like, man, y'all got a statue up for a fake boxer. You know, they don't understand, though. Rocky's not faked us, but they always say that and say, you know, Smoking Joe couldn't even get a statue. I do feel that. Like, okay, if Rocky got a statue, Smoking Joe should get one at least down on, like, 28th and Diamond or something. Like, it don't got to be. You got to put it somewhere. A statue, a mural, you know, something. But you know, it kind of irked me that they always got to go at the Rocky thing to make the point. But I get the point. But Rocky's real. So, you know,
I mean, part of that started because he was the one that started that. So, you know what I mean? Like, people just fell into that. He used to say that. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably why, you know. But it just bothers me, man. Like, when they
tweet
someone passes, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, no doubt. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm glad, like I said before, Kareem is going to be around, hopefully, to see his statue unveiled. Anyway, speaking of Scott getting a statue, Shaquille by Sean O'Neal.
I'm laughing already.
Shaquille by Sean O'Neal, a.k.a. Shaq Diesel. Pause. Come on, man. Let me finish telling the story, man. Yo, Shaq is to play a few games in the Mexican League, man.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm not going to say what I want to because it's politically incorrect, man.
What
are
you
going to
say?
That Shaq,
everybody you're going to play against is going to be like 5'11"?
5'11"? I was thinking 4'11".
I was talking about the centers, though.
Oh, okay. 5'5". All right. Hold on, though, man.
Y'all going to hell.
Yo.
Yeah. Yo.
Austin, cut it out, Austin, man. Stop.
He's a bum.
Yo. Yo, Austin, you're terrible, man. See, I mean, it's funny how when cats stay around and just draw to you. It's like you got to, like, just disappear or people forget your greatness.
Yo,
but,
this ain't
Shaq
even drawn,
is
yo.
This is
for all my Philadelphians, yo. This is just draw.
Yeah,
this is just draw.
But Austin, before you clown him to death, these people asked him. It's not like Shaq went down there seeking.
He could have said no.
He hasn't answered them yet. He hasn't even answered them yet. They said he could play in Mexico.
Yeah,
he ain't even answered.
It's funny. You know what's funny about Austin? He got a good.
He was actually down there doing
charity
for kids in wheelchairs. They said Shaq, the same owner, has a track record of this. He got Dennis Rodman down there for two games in 2004, and he got Sun Ming Ming, the 7'9" dude from China.
Yo.
He got him down there.
All
for
I
want to
say
games.
Is,
as a
Austin,
well
you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, man.
Why?
Because you laughed at Shaq. But when AI was playing ball in Tanzania, you ain't had no problem with it.
No. I can't possibly be that. He played in Turkey, and the Mulatto Intercontinental Champion was playing in Turkey, putting up 50. Come on, man.
Yeah, but he was there because of a lockout. AI was there because he couldn't get a run, though.
You know what I mean? Like,
I love AI, but he was there for a whole
Wait. I'm talking about the quality of the league. You can't begin to tell me that the quality of the Mexican league is the same as the quality of the Turkish league.
He's playing, if he says yes, he's playing in two games. It's a publicity stunt for the Mexican owner, dude. It's not even that serious. He's not trying to get a run. He has a job and a contract with TNT.
It's just hate for Shaq, man.
He even has to get permission. If he says yes, he has to get permission from TNT to even do it. It's not that serious, man.
I don't hate Shaq.
Yes, you do.
I don't hate you. I think Shaq is
keep
a funny
real,
human
man.
Being. He's a funny human being. Yo, he brings a lot to that show.
I'll run if they offer me two games.
Of course. I would go run, too.
I get a ball to Shaq every time. Clear out and watch him bowl over.
It's cool. It's cool, though, with AI playing in Mozambique. It's all good, though. Anyway. All I want to say is this, man. This is the last story I got to talk about.
I want to get you guys' opinion on this, man.
Yeah, I was leading scoring the Botswana league.
That's your home.
Great, Jim.
Yo, all right, Florida State is favored by 70.5 points over Savannah State. That's right. 70.5 points over Savannah State. This is the biggest spread ever.
You know what?
Football.
Let me tell the audience and B. Austin something. Before we got on the line, Jimmy and I were talking about this. And I was actually, when we found out what the spread was, 70.5 points, like you said, the largest point spread of all time in college football, I was actually ready to take a bet until Jimmy told me that Savannah State lost to Oklahoma State last week 84-0. Ruined my night because I swore I was about to call Vegas and get some money. I knew I was going to win some money. But now I'm afraid to make the bet. You already lost by 84. Like Jimmy said.
Before you weigh in, man, I just want to say something. Here's my problem with this. It's the NCAA because you kind of force teams to like beat each other like this, Paul, because, they hold it against you if you don't. Especially considering they already lost by 80-some-odd points. It's like if you beat them 40-0, it's like, you didn't beat them 80-0. Yeah,
you're right, Jimmy. Florida State is number 6. After Oklahoma State did what they did to them, if they beat them 40-0, then they might drop to, like, number 7, number 8.
That's what I'm saying, By the time week 8 gets around, Cat's going to be putting up a bean 50 on them. just to keep up.
I hope they Lupe by that time. I hope they just quit. Like, man, I'm done.
They will start sending out Lupe tweets. Like, I'm done with this, man.
I give up. This wasn't what I thought it was. And I thank all my fans. Savannah State thanks all their fans. But we can't do it.
Savannah State, man, it's an embarrassment.
I'm embarrassed. Listen. I'm embarrassed for them, and I'm going to show you the correlation. I went to Howard. I walked on to Howard. Howard is the MEAC. Whatever conference Savannah State plays in is comparable to the MEAC. So, in essence, this is the same as Florida State saying they're going to blast Howard by 75.
Yeah.
And as bad as we are, I don't see them losing by that many points.
But how do you lose by 84?
First of all, y'all are the same age. Y'all play the same sport. They put their pads on the same way y'all do. Maybe they don't. Because... maybe they throw their pads on after
man,
they take the needles out their ass or something. But
as a man, I'm not allowing you to do – like, you can beat me. Like, you can beat me 30-0. I'm going to have a problem with it. But you can beat me by 30-0. It could even get to 40-0. Around about between 40 and 50-0, something's going to start happening to your players. Because y'all not – there's no way – and I ain't even saying I'm a tough guy. I'm just saying that's the way I feel. It's about who see who first.
Okay, Prodigy. yo, real quick though, I blame Shannon Sharp for this, because he's an alumni of Savannah State, man, and obviously he didn't reach back and help their program at all. There's no way.
All he got to do, Jimmy, is walk around campus twice a year. Gotta get people to come to the school. You know what I mean? A couple football players. Just walk to campus twice a year, man. Do something.
You see an African American unicorn? You damn right they come down there.
That nigga look like a Palomino. I got a lot of love
for my Savannah State.
They're not gonna lose by no 70 points again. That's not gonna happen. But
oh my God, they lost by 84 points.
How do you go back to campus? Like, what do the chicks say to you on campus when you get back to campus?
Listen. They can't butt in line in the cafeteria.
They get no respect. Y'all just regular students.
What do your girls say to you if you're the quarterback of a team that lost 84-0?
If Shannon Sharp is in the Hall of Fame,
Oklahoma State.
He should have to give his jacket back for that.
Oh, God.
I need to step in and do something, man.
Hey, somebody tell people how to get in touch with us before we move on, man.
Oh, my God. how do you get blasted by 84? Check out our website. Okay. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. We don't get beat by 84. click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Get that hot trucker hat, get that tee, get that polo, yeah, and we got shoes. Also, click on the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then, click on the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, and to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile apps for your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012, and you'll reach the host in their luxurious Beverly Hills studio. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. So raise your hand, and one of the War Room professionals may just call on you.
Luxurious, man. Why my chair keeps squeaking?
Yo.
I heard that.
Oh
yo, what's
God.
Going on in the chat room?
Not popping yet.
Kel's in there, though. I think Kel's is probably still pissed about you saying the Eagles not making the playoffs, though.
Yo, man, we got a rookie backup quarterback. We got a rookie backup quarterback.
We're going to get to that.
You waiting for that football segment so you can see if you're
waiting for that football segment, yeah, more or less,
yo,
man.
Savannah State, though. They need some
yo.
Backup.
Yo.
You know me, I'm different. I have a different constitution. I have a different brain. I have a different heart. I have a different, you know, I got tiger blood, man.
They need some tiger blood, man.
Yo, and by the way, Kel says she never lost anything by 84, not even Words But Friends. Yo, that might be the only game I lost by 84, though. That's because my brother be cheating. But other than that, yo, you can't lose by 84, man. Like,
yo, I'd rather get disqualified than lose by
I was an assistant coach on a high school basketball team that lost by 90, so. I couldn't put my hands on the kids, like I said. We gave them the same speech afterwards. Austin was a coach on that team. We gave them the same speech.
Notice how you're being quiet.
We gave them permission. Like, yo, you got to have more pride than to let somebody beat you like that. Like you ain't heard this from Coach Mack. You ain't heard this from Coach Mack. But I'd have put my hands on somebody before I lost by 90.
Yo, in all fairness, they did have Kevin Durant and Deron Washington and a whole bunch of other future NBA players.
So what? They was all the same age. Didn't matter. All right, but look, Hot Topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Try Audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. And, you know, who knows what those other things are? You know, do what you got to do. We started off with a little bit of sad news in the world of football today. Former Browns and Ravens owner Art Modell died this morning at the age of 87. He played a great part in, you know, the history of the NFL. The sad part about it is he's basically hated in Cleveland for moving the team to Baltimore.
I was about to say, the people
right
of Cleveland wasn't sad at all.
I know, that's a shame that they weren't, but they definitely weren't. Just like the people of Baltimore can't stand Irsay, can't stand his dad. But, Art Modell, man, I don't think he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's probably because sports writers probably, you know, they probably hold that against him just like fans do.
Damn. I didn't even know that. You just educated me on that. That's crazy if he's not, because regardless of how you feel about the man, you know, he definitely had an impact in the game, which big enough for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
also,
he could
like,
be.
And Cleveland didn't always stink, so you know he had a pretty good franchise back in the day.
He should be in the Hall of Fame for moving that team to Baltimore because Baltimore ain't got much but that squad, and they had the opportunity to
draft. Should be looked at as a humanitarian,
Uncle Ray. So he's indirectly responsible for Uncle Ray being in Baltimore.
Yo, plus I ain't gonna front, man. He helped me out too because I got a lot of fitted hats from his family store throughout the years. So you know,
true.
Rest in peace.
I used to always wonder that. I think we talked about that on the show one time when his birthday came up. Like, I'm like, is that the same Modell's?
It is. It is.
All right. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I looked it up after that show.
You know what?
I think
Modell's is the best store for local team apparel in whatever city you're in. Like if you go to the other ones, you know they'll have a little bit of local stuff.
It is, but they kind of getting crushed right now by Richard, or as the layman's call him, they call him Six Paul.
Sure, for Richard.
Yeah.
That's funny. I was just about to mention them. Like,
they're like taking their food right now. They're coming into local territories, putting all the local stuff in there. I'm like, damn, it's like
Richard's gonna come up. As a matter of fact, I got a Richard's opening up like 5 minutes down the street
from
me.
They ain't playing no games.
But when I do come home to Philly, though, I always take a trip to Modell's to grab some Philly stuff for my young boy and keep forcing him into this way of life.
Because guess what? If Richard keeps expanding around his area, it ain't gonna be no more Modell. Anyway, this has nothing to do with Art Modell, man. Rest in peace to Art Modell.
Rest in peace to Art Modell, man. Y'all homie Chad Ocho Cinco Johnson Lozada.
Mm-hmm.
He is
losing his mind.
He may be in denial a little bit. He tattooed a portrait of Evelyn on his leg. First of all, I hate when men get tattoos on their legs. Pause that. He tattooed a photo of Evelyn on his leg and showed the pictures off on Twitter. And on Twitter, he's kind of like denying that she's divorcing him. Like, so y'all think Chad is in denial, or do y'all think he just knows something that we don't know?
It's hard to say, man, but looking at the way he's carrying himself and some of the things he says, and just like, on Twitter in general, like, it's like he seems to be losing his mind.
So maybe he really, really genuinely loved this chick. I didn't really think it was that, but now, he seemed like a man with a broken heart. You know what I mean?
I think that he anticipated. Well, man, I don't know. I don't want to go into the psychology of men on the air because that could be considered dry snitching. I think he loves, regardless of his behavior and the fact that he's a spoiled, bratish athlete, he probably didn't know how to relate in a real situation. And regardless of the fact that Evelyn acts like a buffoon most of the time she's being filmed, she has had a hard life. And so for her, she's not really equipped to deal with that domestic violence. As soon as that went down, she's out. She's been there, done that. So
yeah. So basically you saying that Chad is like just basically emo.
Yeah, he listens to a lot of Slaughterhouse with
this is a joke
with Eminem, the Eminem song.
But she had an interview, a television interview, where some of the things that she said, it kind of left things open for you to think that, well, maybe she's not done with him. I mean, she definitely said he needs help. I still love him, all that kind of stuff, but. To me, how I interpreted it, it seemed like it's possible that she might end up getting back with the dude. So
I mean,
all
it
of this
is,
may not.
Yeah. I mean,
this might
Brown,
be the test for Chad. She probably told him to get it. Tattoo me on your leg, and I'll come back. Okay.
Doggy, Chris Brown beat Rihanna to the white meat, and she's still going out of him. There's always a possibility that doors.
I ain't even gonna hold you, dog. Between the drugs. And the other dudes, I think Rihanna misses not only him but that treatment.
It seemed like she passes up. I mean, I don't know the dude personally, but like Matt Kemp seemed like a pretty good dude. He don't look We haven't heard anything about him going upside ahead or anything. So
Matt,
you know,
Matt gets yams though. He's a yam.
Yeah,
he's a yam farmer.
Yeah, so she probably was a little insecure about that.
Called him a yam farmer.
She probably was a little insecure about that. So, you know, for some reason she left what seems to be a good dude. And, you know, she's not with the dude, but she's still holding on to this dude.
Yeah,
his own chicks. Remember, she went on Oprah like, you know, I will always love Chris Brown. Like,
yeah,
wow.
she be linking up with him in the clubs. They run
like
into each other.
Bought her like a dude inside of a car.
Yeah, he beat
short
her
range.
To the white meat, y'all.
Yeah,
short
he,
range.
Yeah, he gave her short range work.
Y'all cats is crazy, man.
Yo,
did,
man.
All right,
hey,
but
PJ, man. Hold on. Let's see what PJ. PJ, what you got to say about this?
What's up, good brothers, man? Listen, man, Chad was drawn. I hope that's one of them Sharpie erasable tattoos, man. I hope that's not a real life drawn, because, dog, her face,
oh, it's real life.
Really?
Yeah,
Chad
life.
Going through it, man. A lot of these dudes don't know how to handle not being in that spotlight no more, man. He knows it's all coming to an end. He's going out.
Hey, Chad, hey, PJ, he didn't turn into your man. Chad probably,
yeah,
he probably got served the papers. He probably said, can I call my grandma?
My
the bad thing about this whole thing, though, is that all of this was chronicled on Hard Knocks. So it's like without Chad, they really didn't have anything. And I guess HBO figuring, like, look, he signed the waivers to be on this season, so he's not on the team,
God.
But we need a story. So they showed all of this on Hard Knocks, Tattoo and...
Yo,
like, why
somewhere
following him
when Reggie Bush watches these episodes, he's punching the wall because he figured this was his opportunity, and they still.
And not only
like
that, yo, I heard that people on the team are mad considering like some of the cuts and trades they moved. It's sort of like they're giving up on this season to build for the future, and some of the players currently don't like that. But I just want also to know that the homie Idris is on Facebook. He's laughing at the whole concept of a yam farmer. So you just. You know, that's the new slang right now.
Yo, you heard of a ganja farmer? Some dudes is yam farmers.
I got some yams.
Some of us on this show, man, never mind. Go ahead.
All right. Donovan McNabb, back in the news. Donovan McNabb, I don't know if he's given up. Probably not. You know, I'm pretty sure if somebody calls, you know, all pride.
Ain't nobody
calls. If somebody calls and needs a six-string quarterback, all pride will go to the side, and he'll probably suit up. But he's joined the cast of Playbook on the NFL Network. Now, the cast already consisted of Sterling Sharp and Brian Baldinger. So how do you guys think that he'll do sitting next to Jimmy Good, the unicorn, and the finger? Like, how do you think Donovan will do on TV?
Yeah, you can't talk any worse than Shannon Sharp, so,
yo,
you know.
My thing is Brian Baldinger takes every opportunity to ding McNabb.
If somebody else didn't say it, I was going to mention that. Like, I wonder.
Brian Baldinger will poop on McNabb out of thin air. It'll be
and
a
you can't tell me he's
about,
not sensitive, so you know he's thinking about that when he
yeah.
goes to his studio.
He must be
trying
to make Sharp as
make it. McNabb,
yo,
that's a pass you
and me. I'm gonna put it like this: I overrate Brian Baldinger as a player just because of his opinion.
It's because you're happy that he goes at McNabb on the regular. So yeah, he's been very critical of McNabb over the years. So I'm really interested to see how this relationship goes between them.
What can McNabb explain about strategy, tactics, and a playbook?
You're killing it.
They must be doing something on worms, like some way to like extract worms from the earth quicker, and he can show them how he used to throw spirals at the dirt.
I know what it
soil.
Is, PJ. I know what it is. They're converting the show to basketball skills, and he's going to handle the bounce passing aspect.
When he was on ESPN for a couple of days on First Take, he was pretty good. I mean, you already knew he had the personality to be on TV. I mean, his voice is kind of nasally, so you might get tired of hearing that. But, I mean, it's like...
He got that Syracuse University.
Like 12 years, boy, still ain't blow his nose.
My thing is this, though. If Rodney Harrison can be on TV, anybody can, because he hates everything and everybody.
Like, yo, Rodney Harrison, like, nobody's good. Everybody's like, he disagrees. He just talks about it. I hate myself. Like, yo,
he just dissed Tom Brady.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, he don't like nobody.
So he's the only former Patriot that doesn't mind being critical of Patriots. Because
he's critical of everything, man.
Teddy Bruschi, you know, he a part of that.
Teddy Bruschi drank the Kool-Aid. Like, he definitely drank the Kool-Aid. Rodney Harrison hates everything and everybody, yo. I'm telling you, he be disrespecting himself.
So Teddy Bruschi drank the what you call it, the lemonade and the iced tea.
Honestly,
Teddy Bruschi, yo, he stands for everything in life I stand against. So I can't even speak on dude. He's such a homer. It's sick.
Yeah, man. But give him credit for being loyal, though, man.
How about that? It's over. No need to be loyal. So y'all got, you know, y'all think McNabb gonna do well? You know,
I think he will.
I'm not gonna.
I think he's gonna get better as a broadcaster than he was as a player. And I understand
right.
That's not hard to be, but still.
But you know what? He has to get over this one thing, because those few days he spent on ESPN, every single topic he found a way to bring it around to his situation and to play the victim about how he was the most scrutinized quarterback this and the black quarterback that.
I think that was a timing thing, because Tebow was being talked about when he had his little run. That was going like Tebow's run. So
yeah, but
when they changed the subject,
he did the same thing. It just always came back around to him.
He was still trying to get a gig though.
Talk about Pitbull.
Listen,
and,
man,
and he found a way to become the victim in that.
I appreciate the professionalism you guys demonstrate on the air when the McNabb topic comes up, with the exception of PJ and myself. I mean, you guys really try and find a way to be objective and true journalists instead of just calling it what it is. Boyle's not good. He stinks, and we hate him.
Exactly. And I think this first year is going to be his roughest year, straight up, Austin, because I think this is going to be his roughest year. This is the first year he's 100% out of football, so he's still going to be bitter. So just like you were saying, Dev, he's still going to be comparing everything to his situation. And what's going to really, really upset me is if they go into, you know, talking about the Eagles and somehow they get into the fans and he start playing the woe is me, yo, I might break, like, at least one of these TVs in this joint, seriously, because dude drives me nuts with that, man. He stay playing the victim and how to fans don't do this. And so hopefully he don't take no cheap shots at Philly. You know what I mean?
Yo,
we know where the studios are. You be all right.
Exactly.
You will be all right. Yeah, so we'll watch. The funny thing is, man, because, you know, we talked a little bit about Madden last week. Yo, even the designers of Madden are McNabb apologists, because I got a little online season going on, you know, by myself. How come in the preseason the Cleveland Browns picked up Donovan McNabb to be their starting quarterback? Come on, man.
I'm not
like
better than
Cleveland. Madden. Just let this bum be a bum and let him sit and do what he do when he is at home. Like, come on now. All right, man.
He'll pick him up
before I get heated, man. All right, we talked a little bit about this last night. We said we were going to save it for the day. I don't even know. I didn't listen back last night. We might have talked about the whole thing. But John Harbaugh, coach of the Ravens, was on the radio yesterday, and he said that A.J. Green, Bengals receiver, may already be the best receiver in the NFL. Anybody got any bars for Mr. Harbaugh? PJ, you can go since you weren't on last night.
Is he talking about, like, maybe in some Madden league or something? Like, I don't understand that. I mean, A.J. Green is a very decent receiver, was a very good rookie receiver, has a high ceiling. But how could he already be the best? When people make who I think have a decent football knowledge, like Jim Harbaugh, definitely understands the game. He knows I would assume that he knows who's good and who's not. I'm trying to think, is there an angle for say, like, why would he even say that? You know what I'm saying? I think that there's
you
more.
You want to know the angle, PJ?
Motivation.
Who is
get
that?
On your computer and look at the Baltimore Ravens schedule for this upcoming weekend. You'll see.
They're
going to
kill that dude.
they plan against the dude.
Yeah,
so, you know, you're going to try to act like everybody on the other team is the greatest to ever do it. Andy Dalton is probably Joe Montana this week. A.J. Green is the greatest receiver in the league. I don't know. Marvin Lewis is Bill Belichick. He's just going to
dig everybody
up. I wonder
if that works, though, at that level. Do you think – I wonder if that works with the players.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think
like that.
Yo, I'm like – I long for the days where people actually took shots at each other, like real shots. If you, if I'm the coach and you ask me about them on a radio show, I'm like, yeah, we've been studying them. We're going to kill them, man. They garbage. be real about it. I mean, unless you're talking about a really good team. Even though the
right.
Bengals made the playoffs last year, like, you know, who really believes that? Like, yeah, we're going to crush them, man. That rookie better not come across the middle.
Come on, man.
But he took
the
other route. He's,
the,
he's probably the best receiver in the league already.
He ain't the best receiver in their division. Like, I take Mike Wallace over him for real, for real. Like, I'm just keeping it real. Like,
nah,
on,
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
I would. Right now, I would.
On front, I would.
Right now, I would.
Who did you say, Jim? Mike Wallace?
Mike
I
Wallace.
Right
now.
Right now, I would. I'd take Mike Wallace.
Boy is the tallest Deshaun Jackson. I ain't taking Mike Wallace.
I mean, he nice. I'm not. No disrespect. He nice, but come on, man. You got to show me more. Than
yeah,
just like,
but
you know
what? You know,
I'm not. This means everything, but he was a Pro Bowler in his rookie season. I ain't taking Mike Wallace. He can
do
way more.
You know how that's called, though, Jimmy? Because Mike Wallace, AJ Green's strength. One of his strengths is his route running. He runs the entire route tree. Yo, Mike Wallace. Is go.
He's the Sean
nine
Jackson.
Route, nine route, nine route.
Fast
he
as hell.
Nothing
man.
Else.
You're gonna be open because he's fast as hell. But
all I'm saying is,
I don't agree with
Harbaugh,
but I don't agree with Jimmy either.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, I take Mike Wallace. I might take Torrey Smith over him too. Keeping it funky with you. That's just
Jimmy
me.
Like,
I'm
Jimmy,
not.
Jimmy sound like
you liars.
Jimmy
sound
like yeah. Jimmy sound like his man from Oakland. The dude that died.
Give me the fastest
guy.
Oh,
Jimmy just wants the fastest dude. No route running. I barely can catch.
I'm just telling you who I take in their division.
Jimmy
going to
get his receivers from the Olympic trials.
He
going to get hurt.
Torrey Smith, that's a negative.
And A.J. Green did make the Pro Bowl. I mean, but so did Andy Dalton. A lot of them dudes, man, like,
Andy Dalton
balls a joke.
Somebody had to throw it to him.
Andy Dalton balls, dog.
He did ball, but what I'm saying is he only played in the Pro Bowl because most of the players don't even want to play in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I don't. I would say that about Andy Dalton. I wouldn't really say that about A.J. Green. I don't know. I'm thinking about the division. I mean, I would name – I'm not even saying he's better, but I would name like an Anquan Boldin before I name the catch that you name.
Anquan Boldin is not – he's knocked to the two position on his own team. Yo, Torrey Smith is going, all right, you know, we're going to see.
I'm not saying Torrey's not good or won't be good. But
hey, Jim, is Torrey Smith
I'm
on your fantasy team?
AJ.
And that's
I got AJ
point,
and
PJ.
Julio over both of them.
Hey, PJ, that's
besides
the point, man.
Exactly.
That's the point, man.
I feel like when Jimmy be getting his Johnny Cochran on for certain players, man. He's a general manager. He's a general manager on the low.
That's beside the point, man.
He either their agent or they on his fantasy squad. Jimmy making deals behind the family.
That's right, Torrey Smith, man. It's his season now, man.
Either way, no matter where we think he falls, Harbaugh's tripping. You know.
Yeah,
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
However, in my opinion, in two, three years, we could revisit this, and then you know maybe he might make sense, but. Megatron just coming into his own, in my opinion.
Woo!
So I think Gerald and Andre Johnson
about to
just
be
took
a lot
a,
of evil.
A, yeah,
T.O. might
that
get
that
back
thing,
in the league. T.O. might get back in the league, too. So it's like, no.
it's all about Titus Young this year, man. You just think T.O. might get back in the league?
I was joking, man. I let it go.
It's really unfair. That's my team. My quarterback. If you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost to the team. We lost to the team, man.
It's not true.
They say he killed quarterbacks. Now he crying for one of them, and people heckle him about it, man.
Yo, sad. We lost. We got cut as a team, man.
It's not fair. It's not unfair.
I get unfair.
Yo,
all right,
it's fur.
This is a fur. He said fur
it's
like
a fur.
Tooth, like a fur. It's not fur. All
right, I got a question.
It's not.
We rapped about. We rapped about Maurice Jones-Drew a couple weeks ago in his holdout. He's back. I just want to ask one of y'all if y'all could tell me, like, what the hell did he accomplish? in
he
this
found,
holdout.
He took his hodge. He decided that he's not gonna shave his beard. Things of this world are not, you know, are earthly, and outside of providing for his family, you know, it's not about whether he looks dirty or not. It's, you know, it's about.
Yo, but he never had any leverage from the get-go. You're a great running back, but you play on a team who's going to stink with or without you. So, I mean,
yeah,
this is
man.
The stuff that we said when he first held out. But it's like, if we know this, how come you and your agent don't know this?
Yo, the boy
like,
is 42%.
You have no leverage if the owner says, look,
he's 42% of their offensive play.
However, and they still stink. So, yeah, he led the league in rushing last year. You know, he's a great running back, but what was the Jags' record last year? What they won, 5 games? They stink.
Mm-hmm.
And now what he's saying is, you know, I got to fight to get my spot back. So all you did really is lose your spot and maybe, like, rush yourself from practice. And maybe he don't like the practice.
Man, he was trying
practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Listen, man,
he
was trying to avoid Cam.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, here's the thing. He gonna get, well, I wonder is the organization team going to institute that fine on him? Like,
yeah,
because
wasn't he like
over
$1 million in the hole?
Yeah,
1.2 million. All he did really by holding out was make his hamstrings more sensitive because he probably going to pop one in week one or two.
Right.
Straight up.
Let me tell you what happened.
BJ,
yo,
that's funny, though. Go ahead, Austin. Let us know what happened.
He saw the dude that don't speak English with all the gold teeth in his mouth down in Tennessee get all of that money and do nothing. And I understand where he's coming from. I agree he has absolutely no leverage to do this. But he said, I'm the number one back in the league, and I'm the third highest paid starting back in my division. What's wrong with this?
Yo,
but
he can't
2 years
go
left,
off the heat.
Though.
He can't go off the heat with Chris Johnson, yo.
Yeah.
He can't go off the heat with him.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the thing. He did just sign that. Like,
here's my thing.
That's the problem.
Sign that.
Now he signed it three years ago, 3 seasons ago.
He signed
a five-year?
Who signed a five-year?
Right?
Dumb dude.
Here's
he
my
signed
thing.
It 3 years
thing.
Ago, then he had to sign like a 5-6 year deal because he still got 2 years left on.
It's a 5 year
right.
deal. It was an extension on his rookie deal after his first season.
But what he got was pretty hefty at the time. Like you said,
yeah,
he's only trying to come back
like
to the table now.
He's due to get $4
like
million this year, I think.
He should have gave himself a clause back then, though. But my thing is this. I think that what he realizes, listen, you know, there's multiple ways to create what kind of wealth that he wants. So now that he can't get it all in a lump sum, I think he's just trying to save money, which is why he came back looking like Shaquille Sunflower. Because did y'all see
him? He don't visit the barber at all.
Yo, he looked like Martin when he went to the joint, Shaquille Sunflower, man. His hair was everywhere. He looked all nasty.
He called him
like,
Shaquille
yo.
Sunflower.
But you know,
the other thing
with him is as the position changes and as the value of running backs sort of fluctuates and actually declines, at his age, by the time this deal is up, he won't have the leverage on his side to negotiate a max deal because he'll be like 28 or 29.
Yeah. I mean, but he put himself in that.
I
mean, that's no excuse to come back looking dirty with raggedy clothes. Like, my man was looking real bad, man.
Yeah.
Najee Ramba.
I don't know.
Yeah, he looks like he sleeps in the subway.
He's about to after he had to give up this 1.2 or 1.3.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, but the way they've been treating him throughout this whole thing, like, I'm thinking, why would they not enforce the fine? I mean, he lost his spot. The owner basically embarrassed him in the media. Like, you know, but, all right, if he don't come to camp, that's on him. Like,
yeah.
No loss.
I think,
yet,
that spot jacking is more symbolic. He's going to have his spot back by week two. That's more so just the fact that, all right, we're garbage, and even with you coming back and starting, we're still garbage. So we are resigned to the fact that we are garbage.
They're going to, because like we just said, he got 2 years left on that contract. You're not going to bring Jones-Drew off to be your third down back. He's better than that. But besides the fact that they stink, they don't even sell tickets. So they're like, it's not like you're putting butts in the seats. Remember, we talked about that stadium before and how they actually cover up sections because they can't sell out. And they're close to their games being blacked out in Florida every week.
Oh, and they got a woman. No, and they got a woman at quarterback.
Leverage. No leverage. Talking about Blaina Gabbert.
Yeah, they got a woman at quarterback. They got a woman playing quarterback.
Yeah, I hope he gets better this year because last year was kind of an embarrassment.
Yo,
but that's
I never
the thing,
seen
though.
Anybody
that's the
thing. That scared.
And Jimmy mentioned this last week, man. We've come to a time where young quarterbacks don't even get a chance to have a bad year. Like, back in the day, it would have been nothing wrong with Blaine Gabbert's year. But now everybody wants everything right now. Like, why can't a rookie quarterback have a bad season? I can see it now.
Man.
Andrew Luck has a bad season. Everybody, hey, a bum. Told you he was a bum. Like, can you learn? Like, Blaine Gabbert might mess around and like people on fire. I doubt it.
Yo, when he throws his passes, he never sees them completed because he's ducking.
Yeah. All right, well, you know, he's with the tears. Jim, we can just, in a sec, you know, until I'm not sure if Mike B is going to call in on time to do his little handicap. So I'm going to just let everybody.
I was going to go back to another question. going back to that being favored by as many points as they are over Savannah State. We're talking about Florida State. I was just reading that Oklahoma plays Florida A&M this weekend.
Oh, my God.
They're just going to beat up on all the black colleges, I guess. So,
who made their schedule?
Like, Ku Klux Klan.
And no comment. All
they got
Klansmen
on the schedule committee.
Yeah, they boosted their hoods.
Yo, cut it out, yo.
And they're not Trayvon.
I'm reading. Yo, y'all out of pocket. I'm reading that Oklahoma State paid Savannah State, they paid the school $350,000, you know, to play them. So,
that ain't enough.
No, what I'm saying is that shows you the school didn't care how embarrassed their students would be. They was trying to get the chicken.
The school made their players sacrificial lambs. They said, look, go out there and die, get started.
Go out there and die.
And make sure we get that chake so we can build us a new facility off the wing of the library down here in
Savannah. I don't know if you heard of this, but did you see what the point spread was on the game?
No, it wasn't spread.
I'm not repeating that.
Basically, Savannah State. I'm sorry, cut. My fault, yo. Savannah State, this weekend, they're playing Florida State. FSU is playing Savannah State. Florida State is favored by 70.5 points.
Come on, man. Why they playing this game, yo?
Yo, but listen, though. The reason we brought this up, Savannah State lost last week to Oklahoma State. They lost 84-0. And now they're underdogs by 70.5 points. You didn't get a chance to weigh in on this, so I'm just trying to figure out from you. What's your...
like I said, they sacrificial lambs. I don't understand. I mean, it's weird. Like, I don't understand the purpose of, like, Florida State and Oklahoma State playing these dudes. Now, granted, I know that, you know, it's helping their record, and I don't know what the BCS considers this crap. But, like, what are you gaining? They might as well play a high school team. And this Savannah State. Yeah, exactly. It's Savannah State, though. Yo, I'm like, man, I don't know how I feel about it. That's a nice check, and I'm sure you could do a lot with it. But, yo, I feel bad for them dudes, man. That's like,
I mean, you're right. It's good for those schools, well, the money. But the embarrassment, man, you got to live with that for the rest of your life, man.
I wonder, are they in danger, though? Like, those are, like, much better, bigger athletes than these. Dudes, the center on Savannah State is, like, my size. You know what
I'm
saying?
Seen the weight room at Howard.
300 pounds.
I've seen the weight room at Howard and at the U. It don't even look like the same world. it looked like our equipment is from Earth and their equipment is from like Mars. Like,
yo, the linemen in the MEAC were
out. But I basically, just to let you know, last week when they lost 84-0, they were 67.5 point underdog. So,
They didn't even cover.
No, they did cover. They were 67.5 point underdog. They lost 84-0.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So Oklahoma State did cover. But they said basically what happened is, and Kale's not here right now, but when all these different teams moved around the different conferences and everything chasing the money, a lot of games were missing from schedules. So the big schools had to basically reach out. Yeah, they had to reach out to whoever they could to, like, fill their schedule. So they start paying money, basically. And,
I'm not even being funny. I ain't even being funny when I say this. They would get a better run scrimmaging themselves.
Yeah, but they, like you're saying, like their second and third team, right?
Yeah, like their second and third team.
This whole thing goes down to money. They could probably do that, but with that being said, they can't charge the amount of money they charge, for tickets for the scrimmage or whatever. And then, like, you know, these schools, these African American schools, they looking at that bread. They like, yo, we ain't getting this to play Howard.
So how much are they making from FSU? Because I heard that it was $350,000 or something like that, right, from Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So something like that. So they're gonna about in two games they're gonna have made $700,000.
Yeah. That's what they're looking at. They like, we don't care if our students are embarrassed for the rest of their lives.
They're gonna put our team on Craigslist. They're going to put an ad on Craigslist, like, yo, anybody want to beat up on us for some money?
What do you say in the coaches' meetings? What do you do in the film sessions?
Yeah, how do you prepare for that when you look at the film?
We set y'all up, but the school needed this bread. They ruined some of those students for the rest of their lives. They're going to be on the 30 for 30 in about 20 years, about losing about over 150 points in two games.
All right, man. Well, rest in peace to Savannah State. check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Jimbo?
Oh, man, my fault, y'all. Y'all got me crying this evening.
You can't beat me by 84. I'm not having it.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about some NFL. Let's talk about week one. And this NFL talk is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show with the War Room on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, or your Palm phone. If you still have a BlackBerry or a Palm phone, please
upgrade. You lost by 84.
having a BlackBerry or Palm phone is the equivalent to losing by 84 points. Anyway, the latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website or go to Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom. That's one word, The War Room. And use the coupon code TheWarRoom to enter into a contest that you can possibly win millions and millions of money. Okay, now, let's talk some football.
Da-na.
As you all know, football season officially started last evening with the Cowboys and Giants game. Initially, the game was kind of boring me, and then, you know, once the Cowboys decided to stop running the football and just pass extensively, the game started to pick up and it got a little exciting. And, you know, you realize why you love football. With that being said, let me open the floor up to you, gentlemen. What was your opinion of last night's game? What the Cowboys do right and what the Giants do wrong?
Sloppy. It was a sloppy football overall, both sides of the ball. Tony Romo had a short memory after throwing that pick.
My bad. We're going to have to jump right back to this because we have Mike B on the line to handicap a few games for this weekend's college and NFL games. So we're going to get right back to those Cowboys and Giants right after we bring on Mike B. He has his own show called Your Bookie's Money. His win percentage is off the charts, so you guys need to listen up if you're gambling people. Mike, are you there? Can you hear us?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Mike,
hey, how are you?
Good, Mike.
Pretty good. Hey, on your show, in your chat room there, I gave you two winners. I gave you the Cowboys plus 3.5, and I gave you the under 45, which ended up is 41 points.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yes, you did. You were 2-0 yesterday. So let's see if you can repeat that.
Like I said,
success.
To the listeners out there, get your wallets ready and listen to what Mike has to say because he's a winner. So what you got for us this week?
I got 2 games in college and 2 in the NFL. Where do you want me to start first?
You start with college.
Okay.
You know, you're not doing the Savannah State FSU game.
Sometimes they don't even make a line for that because, you know, when it's 80 points or whatever, you know, they just leave those alone.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead. You got it.
Okay, the first game, guys, I'm going to go into is Miami of Florida at Kansas State. Now, Kansas State's a 6.5-point favorite, and I'm recommending Kansas State. Miami of Florida last week, in my opinion, beat a bad Boston College team, and I think right now the public is overrating Miami. This will be their second road game in a row. Their first game was in B.C. Now, Kansas State, if you guys know, have one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the nation in Colin Klein. They have a great defense, and I just think at home this line should be a lot higher. So I think, and I'm recommending taking Kansas minus 6.5. I think they win by at least a touchdown, which will be a winner for everybody.
Okay. Cool. What's the next game you got?
The next game, guys, I like is Penn State at Virginia, and Penn State is getting 10 points. Virginia is a 10-point favorite. I like Penn State here in the points. Even though they lost last game, I think what happened, it was, you know, they used all their emotion. It was an emotional game. And I think them going on the road and playing in Virginia is a good thing to get away from State College. I think Virginia's a little overrated, guys. They had a good record last year, but they lost a lot of their players. And I think it's an even game. I think both teams have the same talent, but you're giving me 10 points. So even if Virginia wins, all Penn State needs to do is cover 10 points. So I like Penn State plus 10 points.
Okay. All right, so just to recap for college real fast, you have Kansas State minus 6.5 and Penn State plus 10, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, now let's move on to the pro game.
Okay, and this is one of the high-profile games of the weekend, Buffalo at the New York Jets, Tim Tebow and the New York Jets. the game, guys, believe it or not, it started out, the Jets were 6-point favorite. The public has bet the game down to 2.5. And I'm going against everybody, the media, everyone out there. I think the Jets are holding something back. I think they have a very good defense. And I think you're going to see the team that, you know, when they got this two-system quarterback thing together, it's finally going to come out and it's going to work. So I think the Jets are going to win and cover that 2.5 points against the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, so the Jets are getting 2.5, right?
No, the Jets are favored by 2.5.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So it's the Jets minus 2.5, right?
Yes, and I think the Jets I think it's going to be an ugly game, guys. The Jets aren't going to win pretty this year. They're going to control the clock. So you might even want to look at the under, which is 40 points. It could go under, too. But that's just a slight lean. The play I give out is the Jets to cover the 2.5.
Jets minus 2.5. Okay, I was going to share this with our listeners. So we have one more game left in the pros. What would that game be?
Yes. And the final game is a West Coast battle. We have, and it's the final game of the week one, Monday night, San Diego at the Oakland Raiders. The game now is a pick'em, guys. And I like Oakland all day here. I think San Diego is the most overrated team in the NFL. Their coach is getting ready to the lame duck coach. I think he's the first to go. They lost a lot of their good receiver Brown in preseason. Ryan Matthews is a question mark in this game, and I'm not high on Carson Palmer, guys, but I think McFadden's going to have a breakout year. I think he's going to run all over San Diego, and I see Oakland winning outright. So that's my final game. I'm taking Oakland at a pick'em.
Okay, cool. And a quick recap again. Right. We got Kansas State minus 6.5, Penn State plus 10, the Jets minus 2.5, and Oakland in the pick'em game. That's correct, right?
Yes, that's correct, guys.
Okay, those are your picks for week one. Okay, we're going to let our
people know how to get in touch. You know, we'll see how you how you did come, you know, Monday or Monday night. But like Jimmy just said, just give our listeners, let them know how they can listen into your show.
Okay. I have two shows here on Blog Talk Radio. I co-host them with handicappers. The first show is called Franco's Football Forecast, and the second show is called Michael Blake's Carolina Sports Handicapping Show. And you can find those both here on Blog Talk Radio. The first show, Franco's Football Forecast, is on Wednesdays at 5:30, and the other show, Carolina Sports with Michael Blake, is on today. I had my show at 4:30, and you can just go in at www.yourbookiesmoney.com. That'll take you here to Blog Talk Radio, my show page, and then you can just listen to any shows on demand.
Okay, Mike B. Right, thanks
cool.
a lot.
All right, Mike B.
We'll talk
thank
to you next
you.
Week.
Thank you. You bet, guys. Hey, it's an exciting time, isn't it? NFL's kicking off college. We're in full gear, and for handicappers and fans alike, it's a great time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, Mike, well, you have a good one, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, take it easy.
All right, you got it here first. We're going to post Mike's predictions on Facebook. So if you want to go lay some money down on that, you know, go ahead and do that. If you lose, talk to Mike. Don't talk to us.
I mean, and don't forget, there's also a game out there. It's Savannah State versus, I'm joking. Anyway.
he said they probably won't even make a line for that.
Yo, let's get back to the game last night. I was asking you guys.
How about
the Cowboys? You said it was sloppy play all over.
It was sloppy play. Sloppy play on both sides of the ball. I think that Tony Romo kind of stepped up last night and took advantage of a weakened secondary. Their starters were already out, and then they had an injury to their nickel who was starting on the right. Cole got injured, so they brought
someone else got hurt.
Yeah, nickel got hurt, so then you
That's
had to go to
nickel.
Your dime. And you had to go to your dime, and your dime moved into the spot. So once you had the dime covering a starter, that's going to be problems historically. And it was. Kevin Ogletree had a monster game.
I'm wondering how many people are on the waiver wire in their fantasy league right now.
And he will never do that. And he will
never
do that again.
Never.
He will never do that again. He's been in the league for three. This is his third season. First two touchdowns of his career. Been a special teamer. Their running back, the Cowboys' running back, is kind of tough. I'll give him
that.
Yeah,
DeMarco
he's
Murray.
He's on my fantasy team.
DeMarco Murray is tough.
Like
Ahmad Bradshaw on the other side of the ball needs to go and shoot himself.
the game, like you said, started out kind of sloppy, especially on Cowboys end because they were getting penalty after penalty.
They had a hodgepodge line, Dev. They had no starters.
I mean, the center. They had to replace the center kind of last minute. You had Witten playing with a perforated spleen, Mr. Tough Guy.
Damn!
Remember when we talked about it last night? I said what each of the teams had to try to do since they both get after the quarterback. You know, somebody had to establish a running game so, you know, they could basically keep their quarterback clean and keep the defense honest. It took a while to do that, but Dallas finally, you know, loosened it up a little bit up front with DeMarco Murray. Really, I think it kind of played out the other way around because when Tony Romo started to actually have some success passing the ball, then it loosened up for DeMarco Murray. Yeah, he just kept hitting slants. And you think, you know, the Giants, you're defending Super Bowl champions. Like, how many times are you going to get beat with
widen the linebackers? Widen the linebackers. Sit on the slant. It was really elementary coaching. I don't know what went wrong. Tony Romo in the pocket, not what he does because he has some weaknesses, but in the pocket, he's what I want my quarterback to do. Yo, he shuffles around. He doesn't try and take off. He doesn't hold the ball too long. Just little move here, little feint there, little spin move there, and get rid of the rock.
He's surprisingly elusive. I've always said that about Romo.
And like, he's slow.
I think I think a lot of the criticism he gets may be a little overboard.
You just can't do that.
But you're right. Like, the way his footwork in the pocket always buys him extra time. Like,
yo, and when he runs and actually runs for yardage, yo, it takes him 4 hours to go 5 yards.
10-yard fight.
Treadmill.
They call that the treadmill league. Come on, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But I pretty much had the
and
same
And it didn't help Victor Cruz.
Was had the drop. He's
playing patty cake. He playing patty cake out there.
Yo, that glass slipper, it must have turned midnight and he back to going to the pumpkin, man.
I hope that is, I mean, I don't necessarily care, but I hope that ain't the case. Cause
yo, I like
a lot of problems last year.
Yeah. I like the ball, man.
I
hope
think he was
not.
Rusty, honestly.
He's
nervous. I think that was rust.
I think the best part of the game is the fact that Jerry Jones got glasses cleaner sitting in the box with him.
That's gangster. Yo, that's
his
gangster.
Son-in-law,
yo,
right?
How boss is that? Like, the royal glasses are clean, Your Highness. Like, come on, man.
Yo, but Dad, he just put his glass. He didn't turn around, though. He took his glasses off and just put them back. He just
and the
boy
knew his role. Knew his role. He knew what he was there for.
That's that Johnny Chopper type-ish.
Yo, exactly. That's just what I was thinking. I was about to ask you guys. I don't know, because y'all know I wear glasses. A lot of y'all don't wear glasses, so you might not know. You know how much of a problem that is. You know, smudged glasses.
Yeah.
I think I'm right. Mm-hmm. I might rather have a glasses cleaner than rose bearers. Like, I don't need the rose petals. Like,
I need the bath
that.
Girls though. I ain't giving them up.
Well, it's clean, Your Highness.
I ain't giving it.
That was gangster, yo. I ain't even hold.
Yeah, that was crazy,
like,
man.
Come
yo,
on,
man.
If he'd have dropped them glasses, he'd have got dropped out the Scott box.
So
basically,
the royal penis
right
is clean, Your Highness.
Hey, Austin, so what you're saying is if Victor Cruz doesn't pick it up, like, he'll be working at a poppy store next year?
Yeah.
A bodega, Brooklyn bodega?
Yeah, I mean,
he's
going to
be in a Home Depot parking lot looking for work early in the morning.
Yeah! Oh!
All right.
A lot of the mistakes he was making is because he was ready to turn up field before he caught the ball a couple times.
Yes, he was excited.
He was ready to start. He was more worried about doing that dance than actually catching the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People get a taste of that success,
crazy.
Boy.
Yo, I will say this,
though.
The Dallas corners didn't show me much. The Dallas safeties did. The Dallas safeties are okay. They played okay.
Now, who's their draft pick? The guy,
Claiborne. Yeah, Claiborne.
Yeah, Claiborne.
He got beat a couple times.
They were going at him early in the game, remember? They were going, like, directly at him.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant is nice because...
Yo, Dez Bryant
he seems to move at a different speed.
He's a predator. Yeah. He's like one of them aliens.
That's because he got
you
an extra blocker.
He's
a trouble man was down
there
with.
Because he seemed angry on the field.
Yeah, he seemed angry. Yeah, he runs angry. He runs like he got an attitude problem.
You say, PJ, why wasn't the security team
I said, that's
because
he got an extra blocker. One of his, his security man be down there with him. He got an extra blocker everywhere he go on the field. Got that security boy.
So he run out in a black suit with an earpiece on.
I know, right? But you know what's funny? I was thinking, if the Cowboys didn't pick up that last first down, I was like, if the ball goes back to the Giants, watch Eli march back down and win the game. I mean, I honestly believe that, too. It's like, I think Eli has proved that he is that type of, like, he's that type of player. And it's funny, it's like, sometimes Eli is like, the game is mercurial with him. Sometimes it's like, what was he doing? But I mean...
Ooh.
At spots, he takes over, like in spots, like in that type of situation in the game.
Yo,
and
he
that's
has
you
no
want
fear.
Him to. He doesn't.
He has no
he
fear.
He doesn't have fear.
Part of it
he
is because
fear,
I think he's autistic.
Look
and,
at his face.
here we go, man.
That's why. No, listen, I'm not even trying to be smart. Like, he's like an idiot savant. Like, he plays football. That's his thing he does. He's never scared. I mean, the stage is never too big, and he's never scared. The crazy part is that the biggest play in that game to me personally, which is nobody is talking about, is when Romo threw that stupid interception. His team chased him down.
You guys see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
Oh, Stop interrupting, Eli.
That's the cousin.
That's the Eli.
That's the Eli. No, but what I'm saying is when the Cowboys chased him down and stopped him at the three and then held him to field goal, that was a huge play.
That's a huge
play. That could have changed the whole game.
He actually horse collared him, took a penalty to stop him.
Mm-hmm. To keep
him back.
Yeah.
What TJ was saying,
though,
about the first down and not giving Eli a chance, I give the Cowboys props for actually going for the first down and not just trying to, you know, run another play to get the clock running. I mean, you know what Eli can do.
Position.
You got to go for it. So I give him props for even passing the ball in that situation because any other team probably would just run the ball, you know, just try to run a little more time off the clock. And then,
I got a question.
You know, after the game, everybody had their head down mad because Eli just scored with 2 seconds left.
I got a question for you guys before. I want to ask PJ his predictions for the season, but before I do that, I want to ask everybody, what did you think of the refs? Was it a big deal, not a big deal at all? Or,
not at all. It was
I think they did pretty good.
It did a good job. I didn't come out of that game. I wanted to say this. I didn't come out of that game feeling like the Dallas Cowboys are the better team necessarily. I think they played better that night. They played better last night, but I don't think Dallas Cowboys are better than the Giants. So,
and
but
I
yeah,
don't
the
think
rest
you could
the rest
make
played,
that judgment, you know, after one game.
Just one game. Yeah, well, you know, it depends on the level of dominance.
Unless
and,
you're a
and
Cowboys
where that
fan.
Dominance.
And you know how the Giants play anyway.
Oh, yeah.
The Giants can go win.
Like they won the Super Bowl last night. So.
Yeah. The Giants can get 7 wins on the season as long as they make the playoffs. You know, they still will be a threat. 7-9 and win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay. So, what did you say? Nobody thinks the refs were a big deal at all?
No,
you know,
I think they
were
pretty
good.
Go ahead, PJ.
So I was going to say real quick, if you listen to when they were commentating, I forgot who it was, it Al Michaels, whoever it was, he kept pointing out what the official or what the referee does for a living.
He
was like, here's a guy who's a kindergarten teacher, and he also drives his son on the school bus in the morning, who's our referee.
Al Michaels,
right?
Like, I don't know if
you kept
putting
that out there.
Or are you trying
to
get
trying
sympathy
play
from us? Like,
I don't think
they're on the side of the refs, like the original refs. So. They're trying to show their support for the original refs.
Because when the mistake was made, they also pointed that out. I heard somebody point out how long it took for the ref. Because one time he made the call, like, you know, holding such and such, and then he just, like, stopped for a minute because he probably was making sure he said the right thing. Like, second down.
See, for me, I agree with you guys, but I think they're put in a bad spot because – everything's being pointed out as if the regular refs don't make the same amount of mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I heard a lot of people say they actually enjoyed last night because there were a grip of holding penalties that they didn't call and they actually let the players play. You know, it kind of sounded like a basketball game, you know, let them play. But, you know, they didn't slow the game down with unnecessary penalties because – holding goes on every play in football.
Yo,
whether you
the
call
way
it
the regular refs officiate the passing game now upsets me to no end. So I love to see these refs let these corners and receivers go at it. Lay
I did
your
notice
on
a little touching after 5 yards, and you know they were cool with it because it wasn't affecting the play. You know?
Right. Get your weight up.
Yeah.
Run your route.
Yo,
get your weight up. Get off the gym.
At the same time, Jimmy. I'm pretty sure after the Eagles games, we all going to be bitching about the refs.
Yo, I just want to say that in our chat room, the homie Will Garland out there in Florida where they keep beating on the black schools. But anyway, he says that all the refs are trash, so it don't really matter. He's saying all the refs are trash.
True that.
You know what I mean? So with that being said, real quick.
The other dudes, they just trash and they just know how to call the penalties better.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to my homie Hockley. Shout out to my homie Hockley.
Six-figure part-time job. Ed
Hercules.
Ed Hercules. Yeah. Now, PJ, you weren't on last night, so we didn't get your predictions. We want to get you on a record real fast. You don't have to give us why. Just tell us what your predictions are for each division, and I'll read it out to you, the divisions, and you tell me what your prediction is, you know, in terms of who wins and all that. So let's just start. Let's start with the NFC East. Right to it.
NFC East, I'm going to stay with the home team, honestly. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. I like our chances coming out of that division this year.
Okay.
Austin, then he had the Eagles making the playoffs.
Yo, he didn't even make the playoffs.
We're talking about that after you finish.
He was writing on our Facebook wall, like, yeah, he getting internet death threats about that one. You know what
nice.
I'm saying? So,
and by me, here is my only, that's contingent upon at least getting 12 games out of Vic this year. At least 12 games, I think we'll win the division. That's the number right there. We need 12 out of them. You know what I mean?
Yo, anyway. Mr. Glass. All right, so you got the Eagles. Finish it out, though. Who you got in the rest of the division? You know, Giants, Cowboys, Redskins. How the rest of the division going to play out?
Oh, the rest of the division? I got the Eagles winning the division, and I think the Giants are still going to be there. I think as far as playoff teams, I think the Eagles win the division. I think the Giants will be a wild card team.
Wild card. Okay, so who you got coming in last?
I don't know. Last?
Who you got coming in last? Redskins.
I ain't
going
front, dog. I still got the Redskins coming in last, man. I think RG3 is going to be a decent, viable quarterback for a rookie, but I still think he's going to have to go through some growing pains. I don't think they're going to be a viable contender this year.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's go to the next division. Let's go to the next division, the NFC North, and that's the Norris division, as they call
Norris.
It. The Packers. Packers
Norris.
Division. Who you got winning?
I like the Packers winning it.
Okay.
And I think, I think the Bears might be – I think the Bears are going to be second in that division. I got the Lions third and then the Vikings bringing up the doormat.
Okay, cool, cool.
Bears tough.
We'll get into that in a little bit because Dev got the Bears winning the Super Bowl. So anyway, the NFC the NFC South. I want to hear what you say because
South is interesting, yo. The South is interesting. We don't know what Killer Kid Cameron is going to do, but I still even though the Saints got one of the Bantams coaches coaching them. I still like the Saints winning that division.
Yo, PJ hates Atlanta, man.
I just think it's smoke and mirrors with them, man. I'm not a big Matty Ice fan. They do nothing in the playoffs. They have good regular seasons. They play on a freaking track down there. You know what I mean?
Most of their fans wear high heels.
Real talk. I'm not even being funny, but I mean, I'm sure y'all been to Atlanta and rode past it. The Georgia Dome is pink.
See, how befitting is that? Now, how befitting is that?
Said 99% of their fans wear high heels. Yo, real quick,
they got goatees. At the same time,
they got high heels. Yo, my fault. Yo, hold on, real quick.
I like the Saints coming out of that division. I got the Saints 1. I got the Panthers 2. I got the stinking Falcons 3, and then I got the Buccaneers down.
Willie Garland is in the chat room like, pick the Bucks, damn it.
I know, my bad. I don't have no faith in the Bucks, man. And I ain't gonna. I'm still a little bit bitter about the Bucks for when they beat us, the years of the sat years when they beat us and we had McScrap. In the playoffs, NFC Championship.
So that's your NFC.
I'm bitter because they fired my man Raheem.
I know. My man be on the corner. Anyway, so in the NFC West, I think the 49ers are going to be like 7 games ahead of everybody else when it's over. If the 49ers are 12-4, I think the next team is going to have 5 wins. No lie, I think the number 2 team is going to have 5 wins. Say that, man. It's funny. I don't know what the Cardinals are doing. Skelton and Cobb rumble every night, so we don't know what that's going to end up being. Seattle, I like Russell. My man Russell Wilson and all, but... I don't know. I don't.
Growing
and then the Rams, come on, man. Steven Jackson, come on. He got the Jones-Drew disease. Them two dudes got the Jones-Drew. Jones-Drew and Steven Jackson suffer from the same disease of 50% and above of the workload. I like the 49ers.
Steven Jackson, he the Mike Vick of running backs. He'll be hurt by week 3.
He get hurt. I don't even see how he gets the amount of yards he gets because he's hurt every other play.
He get hurt on the way to the game. All right, so that's your
he get hurt thinking about
it. You got the Niners. You got the Niners. Give us the rest of the division in order. Like you got the Niners 1,
okay.
Who's 2, 3, 4?
I got the Niners 1. I got Seattle 2.
Mm-hmm.
I got Arizona 3, And I got Steven Jackson fourth.
All right, cool. So I guess we got all your division winners, your two wild cards. You already gave us one wild card, which is the Giants.
One wild card is
going to
be the Giants. My other wild card is going to be the Detroit Lions.
Hold up, though. You said the Bears coming in second. So how the Lions going to playoffs?
I thought I said the Lions were second.
No, I'm sorry.
I got the Bears second. I'm tripping. The Bears are going to be my wild card.
Second wild card. All
my
right,
second
cool.
wild card.
Cool.
It's going to be the Giants and the Bears the wild card. The Packers are going to win that division.
Got you.
The Saints are going to win the South.
My next question. Who plays in the NFC Championship game?
The NFC Championship game, my brother, is going to be, unfortunately, it's going to be the 49ers are going to be playing the Packers.
Okay, who do you have going to the bowl?
I honestly have the 49ers.
I have the 49ers
going to the bowl. Alex Smith,
Alex
he threw
Smith
five interceptions last year. He's going to throw four interceptions this year, and they're just going to let Frank Gore take him. He's going to take some medicine, and he's not going to get hurt.
Francis M.H. Okay, so you got the Niners in the bowl. All right, cool.
I got the Niners
You
in
got
the bowl,
Niners.
Yeah.
I think I had the Packers, and Dev had the Bears. Austin, who'd you have in the bowl?
I can't remember.
You can't remember your
Austin,
pick,
Austin must have been smoking some of that loud this morning. Anyway, let's jump to the AFC.
He's smoking that lion.
Smoking that Snoop Lion. Yo, all right, AFC real quick. Let's go to the AFC East.
Okay. Oh, yeah, AFC East, I still got the Patriots, man. They just the staple of the AFC East, in my opinion. Oh, and then second in that division, I got, See, the thing about it is, it's weird to say this, but I honestly think that the Bills may be second in that division. Then I got the Jets. I think by week seven, Tebow's going to be starting. And then I got the Dolphins with, you know, Tannehill and Coach Philbin, man. I don't know. They are wrecked, man. I think they're gonna be wrecked.
All right, that's cool. All right, next one. Next division, AFC North.
The AFC North. So the AFC North, I got – I honestly have the Ravens winning the AFC North. I kind of the typical traditional. I got the Ravens 1. I got the Steelers 2 in that division. I got the Bengals 3. And then Cleveland, Trent Richardson's. I don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah, Cleveland.
I mean, if his knee comes back to life.
Yeah, Cleveland right, so we got the 14 division.
All right, so we got the AFC North. Now we got the AFC South.
And the South.
It's funny how I like this. I'm just saying, it's funny how, like, once Peyton left that division, it's like, it's just changed. Like, it's even becoming again.
Honestly, I like the Texans. Yo, if they can stay, think about it. They went to, like, how far did they go in the playoffs last year? It wasn't the AFC Championship game. But anyway, they did it with, like, a third-string quarterback. Yeah, the game, whatever you call that, whatever
they lost
call that,
their first game in the playoffs, didn't they?
The divisional round against the
division. I thought they won one game and then went to the,
Did they win one game? Yeah. Hold up, did they win one game or did they lose the first game they played? Because they didn't get a bye. The Ravens got a bye and the New England got a bye.
It was TJ.
Yeah,
TJ Yates
was who they beat. Because the two byes were New England and I think Baltimore got a bye.
Yeah,
and
they got byes.
So
and then,
they had
so
to play.
The Broncos beat the Steelers and
the Broncos beat
the
Steelers.
The Bengals.
Yeah, the
Bengals
beat
the
Bengals
right here?
Yeah, they beat the Bengals.
Yeah,
right, so Houston beat the Bengals. Houston beat the Bengals.
So anyway,
here we go.
So anyway, the point is, I think that if Houston can stay remotely healthy, I think they could be a viable contender in the division. In the conference actually. So in the division, I got Houston is one. Second, I got the Titans. Third, I got the Colts, and last, I got MJD.
Yo, the rest of that division is a wreck. That's a wreck.
I just want to see what Luck is going to be. I want to see what they're going to be able to do. I mean, it's tough, like Dev was saying, in his rookie year, you can't really expect too much. But, I mean, a division outside of Houston, to me, that division is not, they're not doorbusters.
Yeah, so. No doubt. Let's go to the AFC West now. What you got in the AFC
West?
That
might be like an NFC West, PJ. It might win that by
I know. Maybe Houston and then seven games below. But in the AFC West, man, honestly – I got faith in Peyton, yo. I honestly think that the Broncos are going to come out of that division. Are going to come out. I think the Chiefs are going to be second. Third, I got the Raiders. And last, I got the Chargers. Like my man said, my man Mike, I think Chargers are they're a weird team to me, but I don't see them doing that much.
It's time for a new coach, basically. In my opinion, it's time for a new coach, then. It needs to change.
new voice in the locker room.
That's just my opinion.
My man,
that's just
no.
My opinion. They don't even listen to him no more.
He got them pits in his face. He got them pits in his face. They can't look at him. He got them deep craters in his grill, man.
They should never fire. They should never fire Marty, yo. Marty went like 14-2 and won the division and got fired.
Well,
he darn sure did.
I know. Marty shot him.
No, but anyway.
So,
anyway.
So,
I know.
So, your AFC wild cards will be who? We got your division.
Yo,
who you got in the wild cards?
My AFC wild card, guys, is going to be the Buffalo Bills. I think they're coming out of the AFC East. And then my other wild card team is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
You got them in the last place, though. Oh, no,
No, you said, I'm sorry, you said, Georgia. So you're saying that Steelers not going to make it? Steelers, nope. I'm trying to tell you. All right. Okay, go. I'm listening. I ain't going against Mike Tomlin, man. Mike Tomlin hang out 25th and Diamond. So anyway, hey Jim, so we got to the Smoking Joe statue. So hold on real quick. So who do you have playing in the AFC championship game?
Oh, okay. So in my AFC championship, I got the Houston Texans playing against the New England Patriots.
And who do you have winning that game?
That's my AFC championship game.
Is it? Okay. Because honestly, I was on Mars yesterday, so I didn't even hear the show yet. But and then I got I think I got the Texans coming out of that. And again,
right,
everything
so
is always in football contingent upon health. But I
so
think
you got
the
Texans and Niners in the bowl.
Yes.
And
yes,
who
sir.
Do you have winning the Texans-Niners Super Bowl?
I got my man Harbaugh winning the bowl, man. I got the, I like, and I got Patrick Willis. I got Patrick Willis being the MVP of the game. That game, Patrick Willis going to be the MVP. He's going to get 6 sacks, a fumble recovery, and an interception for a touchdown. I got faith in my man P. Will, yo. I got faith in P. Will, man.
Yo, they don't rush. They don't even
look. Yeah, I got the Bears over the Texans in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I got the Bears. I thought Jimmy was joking. That's what's up.
He has the Bears over the Texans. I have the New England Patriots over the Packers. And Austin, who you got, Austin?
Austin, who you got, Austin?
I don't know.
I got the Pats.
Smoking that strong.
I got the Pats.
Oh, yeah. Same team.
Okay. So who you got winning it?
Don't worry about it. We got him on.
Oh, no, you said no. He said Aaron Rodgers because he said the Packers are going to win it.
He said
Meadowlark.
He said he's not going.
Meadowlark Lemon winning it.
He got the Packers winning it. I got New England. Dev got the Bears, and you have the Niners. We all got different teams. And
yeah,
watch none of them teams win.
Hey.
The Giants again.
I'm on a roll. The only one that picked the Cowboys last night. I'm on a roll.
How about that?
All right,
so
for some reason, in the Pick'em game, they got to check the Giants. Like, I've been talking about the Cowboys going to win this game all day. And, yo, the Pick'em cheating, man. The Pick'em don't want a black man to win.
Yo!
The same people that got Savannah State playing Oklahoma, playing Florida State.
I got a quick question, though. Jump back into some football. What did you guys think about what Mike said in terms of he thinks that the Jets are actually going to look better in the regular season than the preseason? They got some stuff there. Keep it under wraps, so to speak. Like, they're going
to
let it out.
That ain't hard to be in here, yo. But still.
The last week of the preseason, I kind of said something similar, but it didn't sound as confident as Mike. I don't think they have something up their sleeve. I just think you have to play better than that. And, you know, it was the preseason. You know, you're not showing everything. So for a team that's a little bit offensively inept, if you're trying not to show anything, you're not going to show nothing.
You're going to look horrible.
You're going to look like
the Bantams.
Yeah, so at least when they bring out their full package.
Yo, we should be slandering the Bantams all game, yo.
And they have to wait.
Basically, you're saying it can't be any worse.
But I do think that they're not as bad as they showed in the preseason. I think the Jets will surprise a few people.
Okay.
You know what's going to be interesting with the Jets is, like, that whole – I just want to see what they're going to do with the whole dynamic with Sanchez and Tebow. And if Sanchez does not – if he does not come out well or if he struggles, I wonder if it's going to be – if it's going to get crazy. Just being in that market – you know, with Tebow and his, like, contingency of, like, you know, his backing. It'd just be interesting, man.
Well, you know what I remember what Robert Klimko said last week. He was like, if Sanchez just get hurt, like, that'll be great for the Jets coaching staff because
right.
they don't have to hurt his feelings and put Tebow in the yep. game. They can just say they're doing it because he's injured.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this is true. I mean, you and the whole world want to see how that's going to play out.
Jim, you want to go to the digital?
Oh, sure. Hold on 1 second.
Got Willie D in the digital.
Okay, I was actually getting ready to ask him a question in the chat room. Let's bring him on. DJ Willie G, what's popping out?
What's good, man?
Chief Keith?
What's your prediction, man?
I don't know. Y'all got some ugly Super Bowls, man.
that is going to be a boring Super Bowl either way.
My bowl is sexy, man. I got the Packers and the Patriots. That's what America wants to see.
Yeah, that's the only bowl. We got the easiest schedule.
Hey, but Willie, you don't want to see – I mean, you don't think it would be exciting to see Cutler forcing 45 passes in a Super Bowl to Marshall? Come on,
man. Jay Badass
Marshall, if they get to the Super Bowl, Marshall is going to break whatever receiving records they have in the Super Bowl. Because Cutler sees no one but him.
Who you got in the bowl, cuz? Let's hear that.
Josh Freeman.
Nah, he ain't here, girl. Man, not this year.
Dallas Cowboys?
hell no. I got the same picks Jimmy got, New England and Green Bay. Because, like I said, they both got the easy schedules.
Yeah, that'll be exciting, though.
They got the easy schedules, the best two quarterbacks. I mean, the only thing that's going to hurt them, too, is their defense. Both of their defense suck.
Green Bay,
if your quarterback putting up 40,
Green Bay has vowed to step it up defensively this year, so we're going to hold them to that and see if they actually do it. Well, one of their linebackers vowed. I don't know if he's speaking for himself.
Yeah, them vows don't mean nothing. I'm vowed to pay the TV every month one time, but I don't do it. But anyway, so who you got winning it, Willie? You said the Packers and Patriots. Who you got winning it? Who you got hoisting the trophy?
I got Aaron Rodgers hosting the trophy.
I can see that happening. I just didn't want you to say that because, like I said, my brother's listening and he's a huge Packers fan, so I hate for them to get any kind of props because FOH to the Packers. But I can see that happening. I mean, you know, he's that dude. What do you think about your team this year? What's your team going to do?
I think my team, they improved on defense in the secondary. Secondary was our issue. We still need to get our defensive line together.
Y'all got more than one issue? I'm sorry, go ahead.
still got a black quarterback, so we need to fix that.
First off, he's hard.
Ain't he mixed, though? Ain't he, like, black and
Caucasian? That don't mean nothing, though, man.
He's
50% African, 50% Caucasus Mountain.
Yo.
I'm just saying, how come I can't get Andrew Luck? Why I can't get
prototypical white boy with a knee brace?
Yo, we got 100% primate up here in Philly, and he don't even speak the kid English. He's a straight primate.
He's not capable of using it.
Yeah, he just run and throw. He can't do the boycott.
Yeah, that was a laugh.
He scratches underarm.
McNabb out in years. I had McNabb out in years. Nothing happened.
Exactly.
That's why I can't
stay in the zoo.
At the quarterback.
In the zoo with our quarterback.
Willie, I have one more question for you before we let you go. I got one question for you. This is kind of personal to me, like, because I got Doug Martin on my fantasy team. I want to know, what's Doug Martin going to do this year, man?
Well, Doug Martin, ball. He's going to ball.
He's
under the radar because, of course, he was a late first rounder, but he gonna ball this year because he ended up taking the starting spot away from Blunt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they gonna share carries, but he gonna get the bulk of the carries because Blunt is just one dimensional. He like a poor man's Brandon Jacobs. That's what Blunt is.
It's poor
man's Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs
is poor. Yeah. He like the Chris Gardner before he became a stockbroker. Poor.
Brandon Jacobs is a poor man. Brandon Jacobs.
I'll take Aaron Blunt over Brandon Jacobs. Brandon Jacobs is a tiptoe bandit.
Oh my God!
Jacobs just made a paper mache and passed to Paris.
Oh, that's what's up, man. So you got y'all? What you got y'all record? What's y'all record? What's y'all record?
Our record.
That ain't good.
We'll go 8-8 this year.
Yeah, you want that Molly?
To sweep the Falcons, man. Prove the Falcons are what we thought they were.
Hey, DJ Willie G, man, you must have been smoking that Keisha, because y'all ain't going 500 or better. Y'all going to be under 500, good brother. I'm just letting you know that right now.
You're going 8-8. I really called to tell PJ you can't be bitter, man. Just because we beat y'all.
Yo, I ain't going to front, guys. That game, hey, Willie, yo, that game hurt me, man. Listen, y'all ain't win no games above 40 degrees, like, all season. It was, like, 27 degrees in Philly,
yo,
man.
Yo, and PJ, we owned the Bucks at the time, man.
We owned the Bucks at the time, cuz. Yo, that hurt, man. That was one of the worst NFC losses, the NFC Championship losses for me.
Real talk, Willie,
that joint hurt me the most, cuz.
Like, all joking aside, and, you know, you being from Tampa and a Tampa fan, like, that loss, like, if you ask a lot of Eagles fans, that might, out of all the, you know, five NFC Championship games, that probably is the worst loss for everybody.
Yo, Willie, if you go back and look at Rondé Barber's career, that dude has 10 picks off of McNabb. He's one of McNabb's favorite receivers.
He's better than Ty Pinson. All right, Willie G, man. Thanks for calling, man.
All right, man.
We actually got another call on the line, Jimmy. He said he wanted to talk to me about my Bears pick, so we're going to let him on now. I think his name is Dennis.
Dennis, you got it. Bears are who we thought they were. That's what we thought they were.
Chipmunk on steroids.
Already crowned him, nickel.
My man said the Bears are who we thought they were.
And then he's going to break the mic while he up there. The mic got to do it anyway.
Yeah.
He was like, shasha. Let him on the hood.
All right, let me ask you guys a couple quick matchups for this weekend. Eagles and Browns. Everybody got the Eagles?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
The Browns.
Right. Packers-Bears, though. I mean,
we're going to get taken advantage of. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, okay. He's going to get Sandusky. All right, Packers-Bears.
Packers.
Oldest on Lover.
Packers.
Hold up, Dave. You said Packers?
Packers. Remember, I got the Packers winning the division. I got the Bears winning the Super Bowl off a wild card. I got the Packers sweeping the Bears in the regular season, and then that third game where it's hard to beat that team three times, that's when they're going to beat the Packers.
Got it all figured out.
NFC Championship. Like, this is going to be the preview of the NFC Championship game. They're going to play three times this year.
PJ, Packers Bears first week. Who you got? PJ?
All right. I think you might have dropped.
Okay.
Yeah, PJ dropped.
All right, Austin.
Packers Bears. I got Packers.
All right, PJ, who you got? Packers Bears.
I got Packers.
All right, he got Packers as well.
Hey,
all
Jimmy,
right, cool.
You know what? I told y'all this before, but when that Denny Green thing went down,
mm-hmm.
I was actually out of the country at that time. I was in Italy all week. Everywhere I stopped all week, I tried to watch TV to find out what was going on in the States, and they had no highlights from the NFL, no nothing. I had to go on the internet just to keep up with the Eagles game that particular Sunday. Soon as a black man have a meltdown, it's worldwide news. They show that on the BBC, like, they are who we thought they were. They didn't show anything else the whole time, man. The whole world are them people, man.
Damn, y'all in rare form tonight. By the way,
the
we're going to his pick because we get
Think
our
about
picks.
It, man. I can't get one highlight from any American sports.
He got the Eagles and Packers as well. He got the Eagles winning and the Packers winning. So it sounds like everybody's picking the Packers and Eagles. That's a unanimous pick. Let me see what you guys think about this game. Steelers and Broncos.
Crown them.
Death.
You
did crown them.
I think I picked the Broncos in this game. I'm going to go with the Broncos.
PJ, Steelers, Broncos.
I'm going to go with the Mannings, cuz.
Yeah, I think they're going to come out the gate like with something to prove and just.
I just have faith in Peyton, man. Dude is just like, I don't know, man. I know he's coming off the bad wheel.
I got a
newfound
faith
know.
In Peyton. That's all I'm saying. Austin, who
yeah,
you got?
I know you.
I definitely have the Broncos winning their division and it being a great season. But this first game,
uh-huh.
I'm going with the Steel City.
Okay, okay. Listen, man. All I'm saying is, I'm going, my man, Eric Decker, man. I believe in the Caucasian wide receiver. That's like the most dangerous position on the field because they're always underestimated. So I'm going with Eric Decker and the Denver Broncos.
All okay. Right. So what do y'all think about that Monday night game, Rogue? You know, we can talk about that for the rest of the 2 minutes that we have to pick them for Mike. San Diego against Oakland.
I got Oakland. I think that. McFadden is going to destroy the Chargers. I agree with everybody else. It's not even like a secret to say it at this point, but the Chargers stink, man. I told you it's time for Norv to go, man.
Yeah, I got the Chargers, though, in that game.
you got the Chargers winning the division,
well, actually,
though.
I got the Chargers winning the division, but I pick the Chargers to win the division every year, so I'm one of those people who, like,
eventually it's
gonna
be. Eventually you're
going to
be right.
Yeah, you kind of recognize their talent, and you think one day they're not going to play you out. And they're actually going to win this division and maybe do something in the playoffs, but I don't know. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
really.
I like the track team in that game. I like the track stars, the Oakland, the Raiders.
Yeah, they do got some track stars on the corner.
Hot block commander, who you got?
Yo, the Chargers don't have my man Legadu Nane anymore, so I'm going with Oakland.
Let your what go?
My man, Legadu Nane. Legadu.
The only thing with the Chargers, though, is that their running back might miss the game, and they were going to have to.
Oh, they got Ronnie Brown, don't they?
They got to depend on lateral at the one.
Yo,
Ronnie,
to this day,
I don't think
there's been a worse pass ever
yo,
in the history
I
of any team sport.
I kill him.
A worse fumble?
Damn,
that's,
yo,
is that a pass? Hold on, what'd you say, Brad?
PJ,
don't repeat that.
What was dumber to you, PJ, the Mike Vick preseason pass or the Ronnie Brown lateral?
I ain't gonna
Vince Young interception on the first play of his season.
Yo, Vince and Vic are battling that one out. I think Vic might be the dumbest because he has more to so much to lose. Like this is a preseason game, Aki. Come on, Aki.
Yo, but hold on though. Hold on, though. That's what makes Ronnie Brown's worse. He was in the season, and he's at the one, and you're falling. What are you doing? You're 5-4, and it's going to pick it up.
That's still 7 points. Vic could have just ruined the entire season with that pass. He could have broke
something
in front of me. And the
one, though?
I know.
Actually, one more win, and the Eagles probably would have won the division last year.
Exact, Amundo.
They're supposed to be. But this year, the expectations are high because besides us, a lot of other people that I hear, like other radio shows, everybody's picking the Eagles to win.
Yo, Deb, I've been hearing that all day, all week, cuz.
Don't you hate
all
that?
All the different prognosticators, all of them, yo.
Right. So that play could have really meant something because
and
now they're being chosen.
Yeah.
Just to let y'all know, Willie is picking the Steelers and the Raiders, and because you picked the Steelers, man, FOH.
Do what you do, Jim.
No doubt it's time for us to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the War Room. And that's twice this week. Shout out to everyone who chimed in today, either in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, those that called in. Shout out to the homie Mike B for his first of many handicap segments. Tune in next week. We'll be recapping week one of the first week of the season and also looking ahead to week two. And, of course, as usual, we bring everything else back to the table that we do in the world of sports. Until then, guess what? Football is back. And also, you know, since the conventions have been going on the last 2 weeks, we want to, you know, pay homage to the convention.
I know you can
we
feel the
here,
magic,
though.
Baby.
Yeah.
Turn motherfucking lights down. Mexico, what up?
What up, homie?
I mean, it's what you expected, ain't it? Let's go. Turn the music up in the headphones. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
go in. Let's start dancing, this motherfucker. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. You just come out of nowhere.
I feel like a black public, money I got coming in. Can't turn my back on the hood, I got love for them. Can't clean my act good, too much thugging them. Probably in the back in the hood, like fuck it been. Huddling over the oven, we was like brothers then.
What?
Though you was nothing other than the son of my mother's friend. We had governing, who would've thought to love with it? Like ice cold album, all good things. Never thought we'd sing the same song that all hood sing. Thought it was all wood grain. All good brains, we wouldn't bicker like the other fools talk good games. Never imagine all the disaster that one could brain, should blame the game. And I could kill or be killed, how could I refrain? If I ever be in debt, and that's never a good thing. So the pressure for success can put a good strain on a friend you call best, and yes, it could bring out the worst in every person, even the good insane. Though we rehearsed it, it just ain't the same. When you put the game at 8-16, then you mix things like cause, jury, and miss things, jealousy, ego, and pride, and miss springs. It all to a head like a coin. Just change the root of evil strikes again. This could sing. Now the team got beef between the post and the point. This puts the ring in jeopardy. It's definitely black Republican money I got coming in. Can't turn my back on the hood. I got love for them. Can't clean my act up good. Too much tugging them.
Nah.
Probably in the back of the hood. I'm like,
I feel like a black militant taking over the government. Can't turn my back on the hood. Too much love for them.
Nah.
Can't clean my act up for good, too much thugging them. Probably in the back in the hood, I'm like, fuck it then. I'm back in the hood, they like, hey, nah. Blowing on perk, reflecting on they lives. Couple of fat cats, couple of AIs. Dreaming of fly shit instead of them gray skies. Grade five, hey, dives, wishing our rain dies. Pitch sling pies, and niggas, they sing why. Guess they ain't strong enough to handle their jail time. Weak minds keep trying, follow the street signs. I'm standing on the roof of my building. I'm feeling the whirlwind. A beef I inhale it, just like an acrobat, ready to hurl myself through the hoops of fire, sipping 80 proof, bulletproof under my attire. Could it be the forces of darkness against hood angels of good that form street politics? Makes a sweet honest kid turn illegal for commerce to get his feet out of them converse. That's
my
word.
I feel like a black Republican money keep coming in. Can't turn my back on the hood. I got love for them. Can't clean my act up for good. Too much thugging them.
Nah.
Probably in the back of the hood.
I feel like a black militant taking over the government. Can't turn my back on the hood, too much love for them. Can't claim my act up for good, too much thugging them. Probably in the back of the hood, I'm like, fuck it then.